It is a wonderful day God has blessed us with. Man. We have the opportunity to gather ourselves together and to take part in a worship service done in God's name. Amen. And it's good to see old friends, old family, yes. People we haven't seen in quite some time, people we're very close to. I'm thankful, very thankful. God is always blessing our lives. This morning we will be looking at Joshua chapter 15. The subject of my lesson this morning is called The Land of Judah. In Joshua chapter 15, in chapter 13 through 14, the land had begun to be divided up to the different tribes. Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh have all been allotted their lands. These next four chapters pretty much deal with each of the other tribes receiving their allotment of land. Now, individually, when you look through these, they don't seem to be all that exciting. But collectively, they still hold principles that are relevant to us today. Now, like I said, reading through some of this may seem a little tedious to you, but you have to understand that to these tribes that were receiving these allotments of land, this is not only an end to a very long journey, but it's the realization of a hope that started with their parents when they first left Egypt. You can just imagine how many of these people are feeling coming into these lands. Now, they are finally able to build their own homes. No more will they be wandering in the wilderness. They wouldn't have to live in a tent anymore. They would be able to farm their own land and grow their own food. They would be able to build pens to hold all their cattle. They would finally be able to live their lives the way that they have been dreaming of doing so for all this time. And much the same way, we ourselves, as believers today, are looking forward with anticipation to our inheritance. One that can never be taken away from us. An eternal home with God where we will never grow any older. Where pain and suffering will be a distant memory. Yeah. Where our new home will be one where we'll never have to worry about being treated bad by anyone ever again. These chapters and others like it throughout the Bible are meant to be more than just a historical record. They are left as a testament to all believers throughout the ages to the goodness and the faithfulness of God. And more than that, when you pay careful attention to the specific lands given, you will see that it is not just some random distribution of land. And you have to understand that God is the one who decides to bless the lives of his people. He is the one who decides what we shall receive and what we shall not. God was the one who specifically gave out the land. So you can see that from verse number 2 of chapter 14. It says, their inheritance was by lot, as the Lord had commanded by the hand of Moses for the 9 tribes and the half tribe. In that same chapter, he continues on to talk about how all the other land was to be distributed. And in God choosing which tribes would occupy each parcel of land, here in chapter 15, God decides to give a large portion of land to the tribe of Judah. Now, we know that the tribe of Judah is the tribe that was determined where the divinely appointed kings would come from. And we know that the nation of Israel had kings that weren't from the tribe of Judah, and those were not the ones that God had appointed, the men who desired to have the position themselves rather than depend on what God had told them to do. Excuse me. And we know that in the tribe of Judah, the lineage of David, the real lineage came from David with Judah. David comes from the tribe of Judah. Solomon comes from the tribe of Judah. And eventually, Jesus himself would be called the Lion of the tribe of Judah, since he himself comes from the tribe of Judah. Even later on, when the nation is split into the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom was named after Judah, even though it composed Judah and the tribe of Benjamin. And so my point with this is that the patriarch that the tribe was named after, although he was the fourth son of Jacob, he stood out as one of the most faithful and committed to doing what God wanted him to do amongst his brothers. In Genesis chapter 37, verse 26 and 27, when his brothers wanted to kill young Joseph, he was the one that spoke up on his behalf. And in Genesis chapter 43, verse 3 through 10, when it came to young Benjamin, it was Judah who promised that he would be a surety for his brother. And that would explain why in 1 Chronicles chapter 5, verse 2, that Judah, it says that Judah prevailed above his brethren and that a ruler would come from him. So it should come as no surprise that one of the largest portion of land would be given to the tribe of Judah. If you look at one of the maps to how the tribes were situated in Israel, you will begin to see that one of the biggest portions, the two biggest plots of land, were given to the half tribe of Manasseh and also to Judah. As a matter of fact, the tribe of Judah, their area was so large that they also the tribe of Simeon, their portion of land was actually inside the land given to Judah. In chapter 15, let's quickly read through the first section and see what land they got. In chapter 15, verse 1 through 2, 1 through 12, excuse me, it reads, "So this was the lot of the tribe of the children of Judah according to their families. The border of Edom at the wilderness of Zin, southernward, was the extreme southern boundary, and their southern border began at the shore of the Salt Sea from the bay that faces southward. Then it went on to the southern side of the ascent of Akrabim, passed along to Zin, ascended on the south side of Kadesh Barnea, passed along to Hezron, went up to Adar, and went around to Karka. From there it passed toward Asmon and went out to the brook of Egypt. And the border ended at the sea. This shall be your southern border. The east border was the Salt Sea as far as the mouth of the Jordan, and the border on the northern quarter began at the bay of the Salt Sea at the mouth of the Jordan. The border went up to the Beth Hogla and passed through Beth Araba, and the border went up to the stone of Bohan to the son of Reuben. Then the border went up toward the Beer from the valley of Acre, and it turned northward toward Gilgal, which is before the ascent of Adumim, which is on the south side of the valley. The border continued toward the waters of En-Shemesh and ended at En-Gaal. And the border went up by the valley of the son of Hinnom to the southern slope of the Jebusite city, which is Jerusalem." Now, one note on this, the son of Hinnom, this is an allusion to the area where that is more commonly known as the area that came to be known as hell. This is the area outside the city where they were they burned their trash, and it became to be associated with the fires that were constantly burning because this was where they always took their trash to be burned. just a little side note there. Then in verse number 9, "Then the border went around from the top of the hill to the fountain of the water of Nephtoah and extended to the cities of Mount Ephron, and the border went around to Bala. Then the border turned westward from Bala to Mount Seir, passed along to the side of Mount Jerim on the north, which is Chesalon, went down on Beth Shemesh and passed on to Timnah. And the border went out to the side of Ekron northward, and then the border went south around to Shikron, passed along to Mount Bela and extended to Jabneel, and the border ended at the sea. The west border was the coastline of the Great Sea. This is the boundary of the children of Judah all around, according to their families. See, exciting stuff, huh? So,
amen.
Now, just reading through doesn't seem to mean very much to us, but if we were to look at it from the perspective of the map, then you would see that a big portion of land that they received. Now, in chapter 19, verse 9, it specifically points out that the inheritance of the children of Simeon was included in the share of the children of Judah. For the share of the children of Judah was too much for them. Therefore, the children of Simeon had their inheritance within the inheritance of that people. So their land was so big that Simeon was able to get their tribe a portion of land inside. So basically, they got the lion's share, so to speak, of the land, making it possible for Caleb himself to receive his land. And in verse number 13 of chapter 15, we read, now to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, he gave a share among the children of Judah according to the commandment of the Lord to Joshua, namely Kirjath Arba, which is Hebron. Arba was the father of Anak. Now, Caleb, like Joshua, had set himself apart from everyone else. Most of us know that Joshua and Caleb were the two spies that gave the report. But most of us seem to somehow sometimes skip over the fact that Caleb wasn't an Israelite, that he was a Kenizzite. And so we can see that in Numbers chapter 32 and verse 12, and also in Joshua chapter 14, verse 6 and 14. And verse 6 and 14 of Joshua chapter 14 says, then the children of Judah came to Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, you know the word of the Lord, which the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me at Kadesh Barnea. And in verse 14, it also says, Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, to this day, because he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel.
Amen.
And so here it is. You have somebody who ordinarily would not have received a portion of land with the Israelites, but yet he is going to receive a portion of land among the tribe where royalty will come from. And that's because there are six separate places in Scripture where it talks about how Caleb wholly followed the Lord, or he fully followed the Lord. We talked about that this morning in Bible study, how when you wholly follow the Lord, you follow with all your heart, your mind, and your soul. And we can see in different scriptures where it talks about how he was totally committed to serving God. In Numbers chapter 32, verse 11 through 12, it says, surely none of the men who came up from Egypt from 20 years old and above shall see the land of which I swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, because they have not wholly followed me, except Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, and Joshua, the son of Nun, for they have wholly followed the Lord.
Amen.
They saw what God did in Egypt, and they became believers, and they decided at that time to fully follow God with all their heart. When Moses said in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5, that you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind, your strength, they didn't see that as just being a suggestion. They took it to heart. Here at this point, you see both Joshua and Caleb are around the same age, but Caleb is, we can clearly see, is around 85 years old right now. Okay? And he says in Joshua chapter 14, verse 7, I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought back word to him as it was in my heart. He said he brought back what was in his heart, not just something to please the people, not just something to please God. He said what was in his heart, that we can take this land because God is with us.
Amen.
He wasn't just putting on a show. He wasn't pretending to follow God. He was genuinely a believer in the power of God. That's why he says in Joshua chapter 14, verse 10 through 12, "And now, behold, the Lord has kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, ever since the Lord spoke this word to Moses while Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now here I am this day, 85 years old. Yet I am as strong this day as on the day that Moses sent me. Just as my strength was then, so now is my strength for war, both for going out and coming in." This man is 85 years old. He said, "Look, I'm ready to fight. I'm ready to go out. I'm ready to do something for the Lord." And that's really inspirational. You have somebody who has already, it was already said of Joshua that he was advanced in age and he was old. And we saw that, in chapter 13. But here it is. This man, he's not letting age stand in the way of him being able to claim what God is giving him.
Amen.
Some of us sometimes have a tendency of allowing all of the excuses of the world to become our excuses for why we can't accomplish things in this world, why we can't do certain things. Oh, I'm too old, or I'm too broke, or I don't have the right education, or all these different things that we think would be some reason why we can't get something done. But this man is saying, "Look, I got strength enough to do what I got to do right now. Because God is with me." And he says he was so confident in what God could do that he was willing to take on the Anakim. Now you look at what he says here in chapter 15 in verse 13, that Arba was the father of Anak. We know that those were the ones that were the giants were descended from. So here it is, 85 years old. He's like, "I'm confident enough to go up against the giant." Amen. The very same giants that they saw when they went in the land the first time. Because this is the land that he promised them. This is the land that they saw, that they reported about. And so he's like, "I'm going to take on them giants, and I'm going to get my land that God has given me." And so according to verse 14 and chapter 15, he did drive out the sons of Anak. Whether it's at 40 years old or 85, he trusted in God. Imagine what we can get done today if we adopted that mindset. It may be that the Lord will be with me to get the job done. It may be that the Lord will give me the finances that I need. It may be that the Lord will help me with my family. It may be that God will help me in accomplishing my goals. It may be that the Lord will be with me to do whatever it is that I need to do in this world.
Amen.
Far too often we look at all these different reasons why things cannot be done. The world's limitations, what the world says are our boundaries. But as this chapter continues to point out, God is the one who set the boundaries for the nation of Israel. He was the one who set their boundaries. Not the world. Not our limitations. Not what we cannot do. God said, "This is where you should go and no further." The world would have you believe that you're not smart enough. But God tells us that if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to men all men liberally. The world would have you believe that you're not wealthy enough, but the scripture tells us, "But my God shall supply all your need according to the riches and the glory of Christ."
Amen.
The world would have you believe that once you reach a certain age, you are no longer of use to society. But all of scripture shows us that those who served God did so until death. And even after death, when the next life is to come, we are still a part of an eternal royal priesthood. God will always appreciate you and see you as having worth in his sight.
Amen.
Amen.
Despite what the world may think of us, despite what we may even think of ourselves, God will always see that we have value.
Amen.
Not only does he bless those who are faithful to him, but he also blesses their children. According to what he said in Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 28, he said, "Observe and obey all these words which I command you, that it may go well with you and your children after you forever, when you do what is good and right in the sight of the Lord your God."
Amen.
And that was the case when it came to Caleb. And in verse 16 of chapter 15, Caleb says, "He who attacks Kirjath Sefer and takes it, to him I will give Aksa, my daughter, as wife." So Othniel, the son of Kenaz, the brother of Caleb, took it, and he gave him Aksa, his daughter, as wife. Now, here it is, Othniel's like, "Oh, hey, look, I'm going to go up against this city, and I'm going to give me a wife." And so you see, in Othniel sits there and makes a name for himself. So much so that Othniel takes on a significant role later on. In the book of Judges, he becomes the very first judge of the nation of Israel. And when Caleb's daughter, who married Othniel, comes to her father and asks for the springs, he gives them to her. In verse 18, it says, "Now it was so, when she came to him, that she persuaded him to ask her father for a field. So she dismounted from her donkey, and Caleb said to her, 'What do you wish?' She answered, 'Give me a blessing. Since you have given me the land in the south, give me also springs of water.' So he gave her the upper springs and the lower springs." Now here it is, you have these three individuals, Caleb, his son-in-law, and his daughter. These were three people who were bold enough to take action on their faith.
Amen.
They believed that they could get what they wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And so they had the faith to go after it and take action. And when you think about it, that's what this whole journey for the nation of Israel was really all about. Having them come into the land and clear out the inhabitants of Canaan, that's that through these experiences, they will develop the trust and the faith in God and grow as people, that they were not defined by the standards and the limitations of the flesh, but they cling to the unlimited possibilities of God. And that's important, because all too often, we as believers in this world succumb to anxiety and stress, many times unnecessarily. And I mean, we really can't control all the things that take place in this life. I mean, you know, our life is like a vapor. 1 minute's here, the next minute's gone. So there's all kinds of things that take place that we just have no control over. But what we can control is how we view these circumstances. What we can control is how we look at the things that take place so that they do not rule us. We can, like Caleb, choose to trust that God will literally work things out for our good. Or we can choose to give in to the temptation of doubt and fear. But we already see how that worked out for the nation of Israel when they didn't want to cross the Jordan River. And chapter 15 continues to list all the areas that Judah was able to claim. And there's a lot of names in here that I'm not even going to try to tackle in these different cities here. Down in verse 63, we see the first indication of them not being able to drive out the Jebusites. In Joshua chapter 15, verse 63, it says, "As for the Jebusites, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the children of Judah could not drive them out. But the Jebusites dwell with the children of Judah at Jerusalem to this day." And if you are a student of the word, then you are aware that this failure has been linked to the having sin in there amongst them. That's one of the reasons why that they did not find success at different times. God told them that he would be with them, that he would help them get the land, and all they had to do was be faithful to him. But if they had sinned, then they would not be able to drive the people out. And sure enough, that was the case. This was the first instance of it, but it also took place in different ways with other people. As a matter of fact, the tribe of Judah ended up being surrounded. If you were to look at a map, you will see that the Philistines were on their left. They had the children of Enoch on their southern borders. And they were completely surrounded by enemies. And like I said, the Jebusites didn't even have to be there because they could have took them out. But they did not drive them out. Now see, that lets us know that God still wants to bless us. And he still does bless us. But many times our blessings won't be able to be enjoyed because we fail to do what God has told us to do. Just because you have issues doesn't mean that God is going to be anything less than what he says he is. But it is very clear that we still have to deal with the consequences of our own actions.
Amen.
Them clearing the land was not for God's sake. It was for their own sake. And that's the way when it comes to walking according to the Spirit, according to the Word of God. The purpose is to benefit your life. But when you choose not to, then you will see firsthand why it is that you should have lived according to God's word in the first place. Sometimes people feel as though God is punishing them. But in reality, sometimes we are simply dealing with the consequences of what we have done.
Amen.
Isaiah chapter 3, verse 11 says, "Woe to the wicked! It shall be ill with them, for the reward of his hands shall be given him. However, he has a different attitude towards the righteous." Psalms 91, verse 14 through 16 says, "Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high, because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I shall satisfy him and show him my salvation." If there's anything that we can learn from chapter 15, we can see that God's inheritance is not just seen in the big things. Yes, we look toward heaven. We look towards that eternal rest that is going to come when Jesus comes back. But we can also see his inheritance comes even in the small things,
Amen.
In the small little ways that he blesses our lives every single day here in this world. And we can enjoy every single bit of it if we continue to live faithfully according to his word.
Yeah.
But when we decide to dabble in sin, to be those who just want to keep having one church one foot in the church and one foot in the world, we are bound to deal with a whole lot more problems than we really should be dealing with.
Yeah.
If you want to continue to experience the good things and have a life that isn't burdened by fear and doubt, then we need to trust God and live according to his word.
Amen.
God is a loving God.
Amen.
He has so much, so many blessings that he wants to bless us with. But sometimes we do not experience those things because we allow ourselves to stand in the way. This morning, take the example from Caleb, from his son-in-law, from his daughter. Be those who decide that if it may be that God will bless my life, will accomplish even the small things here in this world, and maybe even the big things that we want to accomplish. We saw how Joshua himself asked God to make the sun stand still, and God answered. Imagine what can be done in your life. When you trust God and you're faithful to him, he can move your life in ways that you couldn't even imagine. This morning, as we close out our service, keep your hearts and minds focused on being the kind of people that God would have you to be, and you will experience a life that many people only dream of.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever your wishes, let them be known together as we stand and sing the invitation song. Carolers.